Good morning. We hope everyone had a nice weekend. It's not exactly what you'd call beach weather, but we do the best we can. Let's see. We have a nice week all set up here. There's some good guests tonight at 12:30. We're going to have Marge Perdonas. Now, you might say, who is Marge Perdonas? Well, I'll tell you. She's a grandmother. She works down in the government center. And she's a black belt in karate. Someone, if they a little nasty or something, right over the bridge of their nose, or right on their left clavicle. That's the story. And then Tuesday night, we're going to have Sam Sinclair Baker. Now, you might say the same thing. Who's Sam Sinclair Baker? Well, we had him on about a year ago. He writes books. And I haven't read this book yet, but I'm going to read a lot of it tomorrow. Conscious Happiness and How to Get the Most Out of Living. I read some of it, and it's good if you practice it. Sometimes we have to love ourselves in order to have a good day where we can love somebody else. But if you think poorly of yourself, if you think that you're no good or you have guilt feelings, it hurts you and it hurts everybody around you. You have to love yourself. And then I think there's a gentleman named Harry Blackstone, who was appearing at the Playboy. I think it will happen on Wednesday night. Blackstone, ESP, and Magic, the magician. And then Friday night, Joey the Hitman from the Mafia. We had him on once before, and a very interesting person. Joey the Hitman. You can just tell in his voice that he's that type of person. Shame on him, but I don't think that I would cross him. Let me see what he has here. This is from the National Enquirer. We thank Charlie DiGiovanni every Monday night. He brings up the Midnight Enquirer, the Globe. Onassis executives afraid of killer, ex-CIA agent reveal. Death warning stops Christina. She halts murder probe into death of Harry's son. He's in love again. Yeah, this is Peter Lawford. He says, I'm the love of his life. I love and reveals Peter Lawford's girlfriend, Maxine Yates, 26, who made him forget the heartbreak of his divorce. Showing with her at the Los Angeles party, Lawford, 51, admits that Max is a wonderful girl. She's a friend, and he's deeply in love. Good luck. Good luck, Peter. Good luck. Let's see. What your choice of vacations reveals about you. I wonder what that is, Charlie. What does that mean? 52. Do you head for the winter vacations, the ski slopes, or sun and fun in the warm weather climate? Do you seek privacy and relaxation or frantic activity at busy resort areas? To find out what your vacation choice reveals about you, take this easy quiz prepared by Dr. Valentino R. Winzi. That's a nice name. Dr. Valentino R. Winzi, Associate Professor of Psychology at the State University of New York. That's in Buffalo. That's where Professor Tony Patterson is. Scoring and analysis of your answers below. You prefer a summer vacation, B, a winter vacation, C, taking a vacation split between winter and summer. If you want a two-week all-expense-paid vacation in Europe, which would you prefer? A guided tour through Europe's major capitals, traveling on your own in the country of your choice, a stay at a famous European resort. And it goes on. I see A, B, and C are counts for so many points. And if you score from 20 to 24 points, you're outgoing. By nature, people are your thing, and you make real investment in friendships. You love being busy. But on the other end, if you only have 8 to 13 points, you're thoughtful and introspective, dedicated to delving deeply into one or two things in order to know them well. I don't have time to go through this, but I'm going to read that. I know what I like. That's Telly Savalas. We found that his show is one of the biggest hits in England. Over there, it's called Goldberg. A little twist, you know, what the heck, Charlie? I make a joke. Ex-farm boy, now worth $5 billion, says share your success with others, and they'll help you succeed even more. I agree with that. His sharecropper's son, L.S. Hartzog, pictured in the cockpit of his 9-seater, $400,000 plane. That's the kind of stuff I like. Help other people, and you'll be rewarded, too. And if you're selfish and just think about yourself, nothing comes to you. Except a little agita. Well, there's so much here, I don't know what to do. Oh, we had this fellow on, Harry Lorraine. He says, give me a few minutes and I'll give you a push-button memory. It looks like you give me a headache. That very dramatic picture there, Charlie, staring. Oh, first photo of Michael Landon's son. Nice little kid. Well, Charlie, we're all set for good morning, right? We'll be with you until 5:30 in the morning. If anyone has any good calls, anything interesting or exciting, I want you to be sure to give us a buzz. Our number's 254-5678, area code 617.
Okay. Shalom.
Shalom, Charlie. Take care of yourself and drive carefully and don't pick up any suspicious-looking people, Charlie.
Did your mother come from Chelsea?
La da dee 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 dee. La da do da 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 dee. La da da. Just a little bit. Eddie was going through the music, and he came across. He knows I like banjo music. Foggy Mountain Breakdown. Flattened Scruggs. Just about 10, 15, or 20 seconds of it, and then we'll take our first call at 254-5678. When it comes to this banjo picking, I can't control myself. I just love it. Mr. Scruggs? Oh, here it goes. Whee! Okay, Brother Scruggs, thank you kindly. We'll play that when I go out to get the 1 o'clock news. Ooh, I like that banjo picking. Whee! Okay, let's take some telephone calls at 254-5678, area code 617. We'd like to hear from you. We're all set. Okay. Brother Harry Blackstone went Tuesday night. Wednesday night. Okay, let's take a call, see what we have. Hello, WBC, you're on the air.
This is Click.
Yes.
Carolina Kid here.
The Carolina Kid. Well, I'd be doggone. Hey, Carolina.
Glick, I got a scoop for you.
Ooh, give me the scoop.
I had a lady appearing on local TV down here in Carolina today. And,
yes, sir.
I liked her a lot. She was a very innocent person, so I jumped on the phone and contacted her and was able to carry on a little conversation with her before she got away from the television studio.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I come to find out, my main purpose in contacting her is to kind of to get her to she was on for about 20 minutes and she was so interested and had so much going on in her head, so much to offer.
Yes, sir.
That they didn't hardly scratch the surface, so I was wanting her to kind of add to it and hear more about her and what she has to say. She's an author, and through talking with her, I come to find out she's already been on your show. I was going to line her up for you and
Who is she?
Yeah, Eddie Kent.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I'm going to get this right. Audie Kent.
Yes, I did. What is it?
It's about four names. Audie Kent.
Yeah. I do.
Rogers Jeffries or something.
That's it. I do believe I had her on. Yes, sir.
Said she was on about a year ago.
That's right.
And
yes, sir.
She's
yes,
just
sir?
Come out with a book. I think it hits the bookstores today. On the Bermuda Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And she advances some theories in her book that
yes,
most of the others, like John Spencer and Brad Steiger and those that have written on the subject, they don't bother to get into the...
Hey, Red, what's your first name?
What's my first name?
Well, I didn't mean to stump you, but I'll ask you that again so you can think
Carolina.
Of it. You just want me to call you Carolina. Carolina, well,
yes.
How come, what does she say that differs from,
well,
from John Spencer?
All right. She came on with this theory that's more tenable, seems to me like more feasible than any that I've heard thus far.
Yes,
and sir. That she claims that these aircraft and ships merely disintegrated because they were down there at a point of some sort of magnetic vortex. Vortex, I believe is the word, not vortex. And that this has been shown to have worked. She's talking about the old World's Fair in Chicago where they used electric current, man-made lightning, and they caused objects to just completely disintegrate.
Yes, sir.
And I think what we're talking about here is some sort of magnetic principle, which I don't fully understand, and I was hoping you could get into it with her in a little bit more depth, possibly when she could get on your show. And the funny thing about it is she informs me that she's scheduled to be on your show this week. So
she's
I'd like to know about it.
She's scheduled to be in my show this week.
She must know something you don't know, Larry.
Eddie, I don't know anything about Addie Kent. What's her name? I mean...
I think she's got you mixed up with BZTV in the
daytime.
She said something about she's got an interview lined up for WBZTV on the 13th.
Yeah.
Which would be when?
Friday. Yes, sir.
And she said, and as far as I know, my publisher is going to have me on Larry's show either Thursday or Friday night.
Well, it can't be Friday because I'm going to have Joey the Hitman.
That's what I heard you say.
Maybe Thursday night because, let me see, I've got tonight... And then Tuesday, Sam Sinclair Baker, and then Harry Blackstone, the magician, on Wednesday. The only night that's open is Thursday.
Well, he used to have like two and three interesting people on in one night. I was wondering, since she's going to be in your area Friday and going to be on your television station, is there any way your producer can corral her and line her up for that night along? That'd be a fantastic night with Joey the Hitman and her, too, because, you know, she writes on other... subjects as well as this Bermuda Triangle. She's written books on ghosts and dematerialization.
Hey, hold it. Hey, are you this woman's husband?
No.
Cousin, brother, husband? What, you related to her? You trying to push her heavy? Huh?
No, but you have people like this on in the past, and they've all proved to be such innocent guests. That's all.
Well, Carolina, the thing is... if I have these guests on, see, I usually get them on from 12:30 to 1:30, and a lot of them don't want to come on after 2. You reckon? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shoot. But why don't you stay on the line, Carolina, and talk to Eddie? Maybe he knows something that I don't know, and you don't know something that he doesn't know. Would you do that, Carolina? Carolina, please, you hear? Stay on. We'll be back. Eddie, talk to this Carolina hillbilly here.
We'll be right back. Men. This is your last chance to own an overcoat and top coat made in Baron Anderson's own factory. There are only about 1,000 of these coats left in the world, and they all go on sale at fantastic savings in the Baron Anderson retail store. You can buy a Baron Anderson made overcoat, originally priced at $255 for only $79, or a Baron Anderson made coat, originally priced at $225 for $69, or Baron Anderson made top coats, originally priced at $140 for only $29. When these overcoats and top coats are gone, there will be no more ever. If you've had the good fortune to enjoy the superb fabrics, tailoring, and craftsmanship of a Baron Anderson-made coat, you'll fly down to the Baron Anderson retail store and grab off one or more of these coats for next fall, just a few months away. All sizes, but not all sizes in every style. 100% wool blends. Open weekdays and Saturdays, 9 to 5, Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 8. Go now to Baron Anderson at 745 Atlantic Avenue, near the South Station, corner of Beach Street. The entrance is on Beach Street.
WBZ time is 21 minutes after 12. Let's take another call at 254-5678. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air.
Well, good evening, Larry.
Well, good evening, neighbor.
Nashville calling.
Oh, folks, you do me a favor. Just first names. Just first names and where you're from, if you would. Just first names. Because, see, you may mention somebody else's name and someone say, hey, what's he using my name for? Okay, Tom?
Okay. I was saying to myself, I don't use your last name because I've called you before.
Yes, Tom.
Studying for the priesthood.
Oh.
And the other times that I've called, I've remembered not to use my last name.
Yeah, hey, Tom. Did you read Today's Globe where a fellow broke into a rectory and an alleged burglar and the priest had a gun, shot him, killed him?
No, was that in the morning or the evening, Globe?
That's Charlie Brunt. It was just in tonight. Just looking at the Globe tonight. I think it was in Pittsburgh. He's trying to... Go ahead, talk, Tom. I'll see if I can find this story.
Anyway, I called you up tonight. One of the members of my family's in the hospital.
Oh?
And I know that the past time that I called, the Glucknik had responded very well with cards and letters and whatever.
Hope it's nothing serious, Tom.
No, it's not too serious.
Okay, listen, just let me read you the story. This is on page 9. Priest kills teenager in church break-in, Pittsburgh. A Roman Catholic priest shot and killed a teenager who allegedly lunged at him after breaking into the rectory of the Mother of Sorrow Church, detectives say. Blaine Kidder, 19, of McKees Rock, was dead on arrival at Ohio Valley Hospital at 1:05 a.m. yesterday of a bullet wound of the heart. Allegheny County Detective Captain Robert Minert said Reverend Ralph Esposito called Stowe Township Police to report a prowler in the rectory. Subsequently, Miner said the priest heard a noise in the rectory basement and went to his second floor bedroom to await police. Miner said the priest told police that as a precaution, he armed himself with a .22 caliber rifle, which he had in his bedroom. The priest told detectives that a short time later, he heard footsteps on the stairway. He said that as he opened the door, the young man lunged at him and at the gun fired. Miner said that there was evidence of forcible entry and damage on the first floor. No charges were brought against the priest pending an inquest later this week. And that's the story.
I didn't read that. I only get the Morning Globe.
Just the Morning Globe. Well, I might be there. This is the Evening Globe.
Oh.
Now, what's wrong with that person? Oh, but when are you going to... when are you going into the priesthood? When are you going to the seminary?
Well, hopefully, if nothing goes wrong, I should be going in the end of next year.
Oh. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, yes. Well, I've been looking forward to it now for 10, 11 years, so...
Very good. Well, okay, then. Who's at the cell?
This is my grandmother.
How old is she?
She's 75, 76.
And what's wrong with her?
Well, she had a very slight stroke the other day, but she's doing much better, but she loves to get mail.
Oh, okay. Is she a nice old lady?
Oh, she's very nice, yeah.
Well, the answer is yes. Just put it on and we'll give it a little plug, okay?
Okay.
What's her name?
Her name is Lucille Pope.
Lucille Pope? Isn't that funny? You're going into the seminary, Lucille Pope.
Right.
That'll give you some connections, is that? Well, anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, her name is Lucille Pope.
Yes.
And her room number is number 307.
307. A lot of people are going to play that number.
Right, and it's at Memorial Hospital.
Memorial Hospital.
It's here in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Nashua, New Hampshire.
And the zip is 03060.
Isn't it funny, speaking of numbers, someone asked me Friday night, they had the big race Saturday, and someone said, what horse is going to win, and my lucky number is 6, so I said 6, and sure enough, Avatar came in number 6, but I didn't gamble because I'm not a gambler. Does that mean anything to you, Tom? No.
Well,
not really.
No, I think I'm not.
Well, it's okay. Listen, Tom, it's just one of those things. Okay, Tom, thanks very much. Nice hearing from you. On Town Crier, the Putterham Branch Library in Chestnut Hill will present a senior movie special tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. The film to be shown is Yankee Sails Across Europe. Women volunteers are needed at the Rape Crisis Center in Worcester. If you're interested, please call 791-6562 for information. Send your announcement on the postcard 2 weeks in advance to Town Crier, WBZ Boston, 02134. Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, is licensed to buy gold articles such as rings, bracelets, chains, old watches, gold teeth, yes, even gold teeth, and any gold coins. Also, the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America,
1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, buys regular silver coins dated before 1964 and rare coins or silver in any form for instant cash. So search around all bureau drawers for those unwanted gold and silver articles and coins. If you live outside the Boston area in other cities or states, mail the items insured for appraisal. If the appraisal is satisfactory to you, a check will be sent to you by return mail. The Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, makes no charge for appraisals, no amount too small or too large. So bring or send your silver and gold articles to the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center. Okay, let's take another call, 254-567-8, 27 after 12 on WBZ. Hello.
Hello, come in if you can hear me.
Hello.
Hello. Yes.
Yes. I have a call for you if we could have it.
Yes. I'm always looking for good calls.
Well, this is kind of an interesting one because this priest, we haven't heard anything about him in about 2 years.
Yes, who is he?
It's a Father Gomer DePaw, D-E capital P-A-U-W.
Yes.
And he's in the New York, New Jersey area. He just has a little, they won't give him a parish. He just has a little tiny chapel there.
Why won't they give him a parish?
Well, because he's a traditionalist. He's a Catholic priest and he's not really in that much favor. But he came back from Rome a couple of years ago and he went right by cab directly from the boat up to one of the morning TV shows. I saw him on that. And he said he had been commissioned by the Pope to fight the bishops in the States.
What for? When he says he's a traditionalist, what do you mean?
That well, he's a Catholic priest of the true Catholic school, and he hasn't gone for any of the innovations or any of the new things that have been introduced.
Oh, I see.
The new liturgy, and he has his own little chapel, and he still says the Trident and Mass. But nothing has been heard from him since that. I saw a little teeny picture of his chapel once.
Is it funny? People have to change. If they don't change, people will forget them.
No, I just wonder what he's doing. Well, what do you think? Down hard on him, see?
What do you think? Do you think that that if they don't change it, they'll be just as popular as they were? Or do you think that they'll be more popular if they change with the times and give the people what they want?
Well, they're not giving the people what they want. The people are very discontented. This has been directed. It's a pyramid thing from the top. And the people are beginning to come to the fore. Over in, right near the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, there are priests there now, and they can't accommodate the people that are coming to this one church, the Waldrum. There's 7,000 people crowd in there for a mass.
Mm.
And they have the traditional mass every day, and Archbishop Marty in France has forbidden them to do it, and they're just going ahead with it, because they say that there's no reason that they can't have the mass that we had before.
My platform is religious freedom. If they want traditional, give them traditional. If they want the new type, give them the new type.
That's right.
You've got to give the people what they want. You understand?
That's right. I understand. I agree completely.
You can't force anything down a person. You can't force a religious view down unless you kill them. You've got to kill them.
That's what I wonder. I wonder, because there's just one other... A priest in England.
Yes.
And parish there, and they have done terrible things to him.
Like what? What sort of things are terrible?
Well, they kicked him out of his rectory.
Who kicked him out of his rectory? The bishops kicked him out of his rectory.
Listen to this.
Yes, let me do a station ID first. Guy Van Allen calling all sports tonight at 6 on WBZ Boston, Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting. You're getting me worked up. Go ahead.
Good.
They did? Hey, what they could tell him, they'll say, you better smarten up or we'll make a rabbi out of you. No.
Yes, okay, as long as it's traditional.
As long as it's traditional, yes.
Yes.
Tradition.
Now listen.
Tradition.
This is very serious.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Yes.
This priest in England, the bishop tried to have him certified as insane because he was just carrying on.
Oh.
So, yeah, the priest's own doctor, and then they got a psychiatrist.
Yes.
And the bishop actually asked these two doctors to have this man put away.
Oh.
And they refused.
Shame.
But they reported it because they said they were afraid that they might run into the, that someone might run into the case again and they'd get some kooky doctors who would...
Yeah.
Lean that way and have this man incarcerated. And we can't have this stuff going on, Larry.
No, we cannot. No. Amen. Amen, sister. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Would you try to get Father DePaul?
Yes, I'll get... Yes, I will. Yes.
He's an interesting guy.
By Jove, we'll get him on. We'd like to hear from every viewpoint. Do you understand, my dear lady? Do you?
Oh, yes, I understand.
Yes, that's our platform.
I've been listening to you long enough. I understand you well.
Thank you. Where are you calling from, lady?
London, Ontario.
London, Ontario? By Jove, you didn't say that you were calling from there?
Yeah.
Well, listen, here's what I'd like you to do. What's your first name?
Anne.
Anne. I'd like you to stay on because we have our guest coming up. We have a lady. She's a wife, a mother, and a grandmother, and a waitress in that order. And she's a black belt in karate.
Oh, boy.
So you better not fool around with her. You better leave her a good tip. Ann, you stay on the phone and give Eddie all the information, and we'll have this priest on, okay?
Okay, thanks, Larry.
Hey, Ann, you're okay.
Thank you.
Any way I can help you out, you let me know. Okay?
Goodbye.
So long, Ann. Stay on. Eddie, get this number, would you please?
BZ's big broadcast of 75. July 4th weekend. Return with us to those thrilling days.
What's the matter? What is it?
Another case for Nick Carter, master detective.
Pepper Young's family.
Long's Liniments present Gangbusters.
All those great shows and much, much more. BZ's big broadcast of 75. July 4th, 5th, and 6th from Dunphy's in Hyannis. Join us for the big broadcast. Call 890-0300 for advanced ticket information. It's all for the benefit of muscular dystrophy. The big broadcast of 75. July 4th weekend on Radio 103.
We have some great programs that weekend. I'm going to look forward to it myself. Well, now we have our guest. We got this out of the Boston Globe. And it's unusual. Here's this, as I just said, she's a wife, mother, grandmother, waitress, in that order. And she practices karate in an Everett home. Can you imagine some guy breaking the door open? And then there's Marge, comes right up to him, and Marge says, right in his clavicle. Well, anyways, I want to find out. She works down. I don't know if she wants us to mention where she's working, but we'll find out. But it's not too often you bump into a grandmother who's a karate expert, holder of the martial arts highest award, the black belt. I wonder if she wears her black belt around her apron. She's in her 50s, does 15 push-ups each morning, and then goes into a strenuous karate exercise routine. She says, I don't compete anymore, but I work at it. Karate keeps her in shape. She's almost small. Let's find out a little bit about it. Hello there. Hello, Marge.
Hello.
Mr. Glick, I'll call you Mrs. Prodanis.
You can call me Larry.
You can call me Larry.
Okay, Larry.
Okay. You're an interesting lady. I've never met you, but I'd like to find out a little bit about yourself. I mean, it's not often that a grandmother starts taking training in karate. When and why did you start studying karate?
Well, I'll tell you, Larry. I've always been an outdoor gal. Way back in high school days, I loved to be the cheerleader, and I never missed a football game.
It must be difficult to make it retroactive.
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you started with karate?
Before I forget it, don't cut me off before I talk about Mr. Cuspidor.
Yes.
But we did have a flap here about our firemen in that they were wearing beards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can understand that. That's a danger. That could be a very dangerous thing for a fireman to wear.
Right.
I'm going to say 55. My weight is about 122.
You stay in good shape.
I drank often.
How much time do you spend in practicing?
Well, with me, it's just a way of life, Larry. I've always done it. I love exercise. I love the outdoors. And I don't think I could start my day if I didn't exercise.
Now, is it okay to mention where you work?
Oh, sure.
She's at the Charles River Coffee House.
I'm a college.
The Holiday Inn and Government Center. Do you want to, this is really coincidental, Marge.
Pardon me?
I studied karate with George Matson at the Matson Academy.
Did you?
Yeah, just for a short time. I
remember when you were doing it.
Do you?
Yeah, I think I remember you going in, and then you went to Cambridge, didn't you?
No, I stayed right at the... At Government Center.
Didn't you work out at the Cambridge Y, too?
Oh, yes, at the Cambridge Y, yes, right. But I never accomplished that much. I only got a white belt, which means that I could fight any girl under 14.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, a little one.
You look, Why didn't you go on? After that, you'd have had your orange one, then your purple,
I know,
blue,
I know,
I know. Green, your brown, and then your black.
Well, they kept just whacking me around here. I said, hey, take it easy, will you, fellas? Easy. And every time George Matson would work out with me, he'd whack me all over the place. I'd say, hey, George, now. But anyways, I want to talk about you.
I stayed with it all. I love it. I love exercising. In fact, I stayed away from the studio, and I was in there the other night running around a little bit, and right now my doctor doesn't want me to do it anymore. He says it's kind of rough on the tip of your nose, my heart.
Yeah.
And after all, I'm getting along in years.
How old are you now?
Well, I'm my middle 50s.
Yeah.
Now, you know, you shouldn't ask it.
I know, I should have said, Mark.
You shouldn't ask a lady a question like that, but I'm very proud.
Right, you should be. I mean, a woman in the middle 50s with a black belt in karate.
Well, I'm proud because I'm, first of all, Larry, I've been married for quite a few years. I celebrated my 25th anniversary. You know, that's kind of a touchy subject because my husband never approved. Never. Never approved of me taking karate, never approved of me. Never approved of me being a tomboy, he says.
Yeah.
In fact, his favorite saying was, sometimes I feel like I'm married to a truck driver, he'd say.
Now, what is he in shape?
Yes, he is, but he had a stroke about...
Oh.
Oh, he had a stroke about 5 years ago.
Right.
But he's very well. He bowls, and he's quite an athlete, you know.
He doesn't want his wife as a karate...
He certainly does not, so it's kind of a ticklish subject, you know, and I like to de-emphasize the fact a little bit. Somebody found out... And Harold Banks showed it up about, well, when I first started work for Holiday Inn, I got a Waitress of the Month award or something there when we first opened up, you know?
Yeah.
So Harold Banks put an article in the old record, you know, the little record we used to have.
Yeah, stuff. Right, yes.
And people found out, you know, and once in a while I have someone say, oh, you take her out, you know. I have quite a muscle in the arms, you know, and the legs and... It's a good feeling. I'll tell you, I used it just once.
Oh, where was... I was going to come to that. Ask
I did.
You, and where was this?
That was right there on Charles Street, you know. I used to come to work, and I would get off there up by the bridge, you know, on Charles Street.
Yes.
And walk down Cambridge Street. Well, in the wintertime, you know, it's kind of dark. I'm working the day shift, say.
Yes.
I used to work the night shift when we first opened. And... Well, I didn't like the look of a man. He came toward me. And
What time was this, Mars?
Oh, this is about 5:30 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. He came close, a little closer than I cared about, you know. I let him have a clip of it.
Huh?
Hello.
You let him have it?
You better believe it. Better believe it.
Where'd you get in the chop?
He got the chop right near his throat, you know, right in my elbow. Ah, well, I could even watch him slowly walk away, you know.
And then he went up to work.
That's right.
Now, what about in the Holiday Inn? You never have the problem there.
Oh, Holiday Inn, sir, it's a very fine place to work.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Holiday Inn?
Yes, I was in there once with George Matson. We had dinner upstairs and
up
we had
in the
dinner.
Penthouse?
Yeah.
Well, I worked up in the penthouse for a long time before I went downstairs. And, of course... The coffee shop is only there about 3.5 years.
Yeah, we were there, too.
Yeah, in the coffee shop?
Yes.
Oh, I never know. During the day?
Yep.
Yeah, well, maybe on my days off.
Well, I'll come in there, and then if I come in there with my... I still have my karate outfit.
Have you?
Yes,
well,
I still have.
I haven't. I gave mine away.
You don't use it?
No.
Oh.
I don't use it. My husband does not.
What's wrong with him? Where is he now? Is he sleeping?
Yeah, he went into bed.
Oh, did you tell him that you're going to be on the program?
I told him, yeah.
What did he say?
He just went in the room, and I said to him, now, you're going to have to shut the radio. If you want to hear it, you're going to your bedroom.
Yeah.
So he's probably not listening to it.
Oh.
Yeah. But
what's his first name?
George.
Hey, George, would you give Marge a break? Leave her alone. Leave her.
I'll tell you, Larry, you know, he's from the old school, and he says he likes to go his wife. He's a feminine type of girl.
Yeah.
I never was. I'm kind of...
After 25 years, he still wants a little feminine type,
I'm a tomboy, you know, I always was.
Now, what about your children and grandchildren? Are they...
I have two beautiful grandchildren.
Are they inclined to karate, the martial arts?
Well, I would like very much... Well, my grandson is... he's going to be 5, and he's had his... He got his first football bruise a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I smiled at that, you know. Because my son played football. Well,
but you're the only one in the family that started with karate.
I'm the only one that took karate, and I took it very quietly for a long time, you know. In fact, the first time I took it, I was up in Maine.
Now, tell me, what do you think it has done for you socially?
What do I think?
As far as confidence is concerned, or how has it helped you?
Socially?
Yes.
I think that it's great. I think it gives you confidence. Yes,
right.
I'm not afraid of, the only one I'm afraid of, Larry, is God.
Right. God?
God, yes.
God loves you. Why should you be afraid of him?
Well, I mean, he's the only one that I'm afraid of, you know. I'm afraid of nobody. The only person that...
What about George?
I'm not afraid of him.
Hey, do you hear that, George? She's not afraid of you, George.
I'm afraid of no one.
That's good.
Well, you'll love that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of nobody. Let me say, God is the only...
Now, how were you before? Can you recall before you had the capabilities of the body, the mental attitude of karate?
Oh, I think it's
karate.
Great for your mental attitude.
Huh?
I think karate is great for your mental attitude.
It is. That's why I brought it up. I knew that you'd say that.
I think every woman should take it.
Yeah.
I think every woman should do it, especially these days, you know. It makes you feel, it gives you a sense of security, for one thing. Yes.
Yeah, that's why I asked that question, because I knew that you were going to say that. It gives you a feeling of confidence.
Yes, sir, it certainly does. It certainly does, Mr. Glick. Like, I'm never afraid. Some wise guy comes in the lobby early in the morning, and once in a while you'll get one, you know.
Yeah.
You know. And I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Once in a while, you know, you see someone that doesn't look just right. And one of the girls, and she'll say, I'm not afraid of anybody.
So then the other girls will say, hey, call Mrs. Prodanus, will you? Hey, where's Mrs. Prodanus? Get around
we'll
to the ladies' room.
We'll go with you, Marge.
Well, that's great. Who are some of the interesting people that you've waited on at the Holiday Inn there?
Oh, my. Sir, there have been so many. The nicest person I have ever waited on was Liza Minnelli.
Oh, yeah. I interviewed her when she was in Boston.
She was great. She stayed with us for 9 weeks, Larry.
Yeah, she was... At that time, she was a...
Her mother had just been buried the day before.
Oh, yeah.
Liza, of course, she was emotionally upset.
Yeah.
And I came to know her, and I came to take care of her steadily, you know. And she'd say to me in the morning, at the time, she'd say, can I have a Benson Hedge?
A what? Oh, a cigarette.
Benson Hedge, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say, no, you can't. You eat your breakfast. She wouldn't eat, you know. But before she left, she was just fine. She was eating. She was happy. And we were good friends. I think Liza is just the nicest.
A great entertainer. She was in with her husband, who was
Peter
the...
Allen, I met him.
Who, the Australian?
He's just, Hungarian, right. I think.
Well, that's...
He said to me,
maybe he is Hungarian.
He said to me, can I have a serviette? And Liza says, give me a napkin.
Give him a what did he
a
want?
A napkin.
Now, what did he want?
A serviette.
A serviette?
Yeah. That means napkin, I guess, in his language.
Oh.
I'll never forget that, but... Liza was just great. Peter was just a little fellow.
But now she's married to Jack Haley Jr.
Jr., yes.
And then in one of the papers, Marge, I read where that she's seeing somebody else.
Yeah, don't say it. I couldn't believe it, you know.
Oh, how'd you hear it?
I heard it.
Huh?
I heard it.
Is it true?
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to believe that, Larry.
Why?
Because Liza was such a nice person.
I know.
I'm not going to believe that of Eliza.
Who?
I don't want to.
Yeah. Who was it that she was supposed to see? Say it. Come on, Mark.
I don't want to say it.
Oh, okay.
I really don't.
If you don't say it, I'm not going to say it either.
No, don't say it, Larry.
I won't say it, Marge.
Thank you very much.
Anyway,
Liza was Otto Preminger, and you know what Otto's like.
Yeah, I interviewed him, too.
Here comes my waitress, he'd say to me, and he'd put an arm around me.
Yes, he would say... Well, yes, here's my waitress. You want
to come
here?
Yeah.
Waitress, here. I want some coffee now.
Listen, Larry.
Yes.
And here I am getting ready to go home, you know, and he has nothing but lobster, incidentally, so that means another 2.5 hours' work, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare say, no, I'm going home. So back up the elevator, I'd go, and I'd go back to work. You know, the waitress would say, you can have him, we don't want him.
Was he a good tipper?
He's too fat for us, but you take him. I take him, because to me...
Was he a good tipper?
Very good.
Yeah.
To me, Larry, I'll tell you, you know, the meaner a guest can be, to me, it's a challenge. I waited on him.
Was he mean?
Pardon? It's a challenge to me to have somebody that's real, you know, mean.
Yeah, was
because
he?
Because I work on them and see what I can do with them, and I'll tell you, the meaner they are, the better I like them, because I like to break them down, you know?
This would be funny if in case a person like Otto Preminger was there, he says, I want the lobster, 3 pounds.
Oh,
it better be tender. And then all of a sudden, if you didn't say anything, and then all of a sudden, without a word of warning, you brought your hand down on the table and did...
Oh,
is there anything else you want?
No, you wouldn't know to look at me. You wouldn't know to look at me. You wouldn't know.
What time do you work? I'll have to come in and get a cup of coffee and some toast.
I work every day.
From when?
I have different, I was off today and I'm off tomorrow, or I wouldn't be up because I go to bed at night 7:30 and 8 o'clock.
Had a girl.
I'm up at 4.
Right.
See, because I'm in working at 5:30.
Well, I'm going to come in there one morning. Oh, it's 5:30 in the morning?
Be my guest. I get up at 4 in the morning, sir.
But, I mean, what time does it open up?
It opens at 7, and we're open until 8 at night.
Oh, okay. Well, one morning I'm going to come in there. Marge, I want to thank you very much. And
that's a nice place to work, you know.
Yeah.
We have a food and beverage man there that's just out of this world.
Who is he?
Edmonds. He's great.
Mr. Edmonds?
Yes. Yes. Director Pulio is a great guy, too. He's not only great, he's a humanitarian. Oh, he's great, really. It's a nice place. I've been there now since it opened. And I worked in the Harvard room for years before that.
Well, listen, I want to tell her, hey, George, leave her alone. She wants to work out. Let her work out, George.
Oh, he don't mind me. You know what? He doesn't mind in the house, but he doesn't like people coming up to him and saying, now, he was all upset over that article, because he doesn't like people coming up and saying, hey, how does it feel to be married to a
black belt karate?
Yeah. Hey, he's going to give you a chop, you know?
Yeah. Well, Marge, listen, I want to thank you very much. Marge Pradonis. Am I pronouncing it right?
My name is Pradonis, sir. I'm married to a Greek fellow.
Right. Are you of Greek descent?
I'm Italian, sir.
Italian?
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
Come and say.
Danny.
Very good.
Tell me, how's your daughter? You have a daughter, Patricia, don't you?
No, I have a daughter, Nanette.
Nanette?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I used to listen to you, you know, when I worked, you know, nights.
Right.
But since I've been working this shift, I don't listen anymore. And does she live in Miami?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. I remember,
yeah. Well, okay, Marge. Hey, Marge.
Yeah.
As they say in Tel Aviv, stato buono.
Si.
Okay.
Si.
So long and thank
you. Buonanotte.
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 Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Flag Center, Porter Square, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, manufacturers of quality custom-designed flags and banners for city seals, towns, yacht clubs, and businesses since 1939. In our colorful showroom, there are thousands of U.S. state flags of all nations and every size and material, headquarters for historical and bicentennial flags. The Flag Center, 1865 Mass Avenue, Porter Square, Cambridge, Massachusetts, also makes all sizes of modern fiberglass flagpoles for home and commercial use. The Flag Center has made and installed the 3 largest fiberglass flagpoles in the world in the Dallas, Texas Municipal Center. Beautiful, strong fiberglass poles guaranteed to withstand winds of 150 miles per hour. So for quality custom flags and flag poles, come or write to the Flag Center, Porter Square, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts. Ask for our free brochure.
Jobs are scarce. Massachusetts has the 4th highest unemployment rate in the country. Even college grads are having a tough time finding a good job. So without a high school diploma, you're sunk. Even if you get a job, chances are it'll be hard work and pay peanuts. So stay in school. Watch out for number one.
Okay, let's take a call. 254-5678. Hello, WBZ, you're on the air. Hello.
Larry,
yes.
I'm awfully sorry. I have to call you. I talked to you on Friday night, and I didn't take the advice of the Godfather, and I am a sadder and wiser man.
What's the matter?
Number 6 did win on
the
Belmont Stakes.
Number 6 came out, and you didn't bet number 6.
No, I took my pyramid, and I threw it through the window without opening the window.
Oh, well.
The pyramid told me 4.
Ah.
Did you tell your wife about the man sawing his wife in half? And how she got 6 inches shorter in 10 years?
Yes, I did.
What did she say?
Well, she figured, you know, she knew something like that was going to happen. You keep fooling around like that, and they're going to do it.
Yeah, well,
let me say this one more thing about the Flag Center. It's open. They'll be open all day, Saturday through June, and remember that Flag Day is June 14th.
14th is Flag Day.
Very good. Go ahead.
We've raised the flag. But on Donna, you should have told her.
What?
Because this magician I told you about Friday night happened to meet my brother. And he's now working on his second life.
Oh, we're going to have Blackstone on Wednesday night.
Hmm?
We're going to have Blackstone on Wednesday.
Well, Blackstone Jr., yeah, very good.
Right.
Very good magician.
Yes, yes.
But it's kind of hard to have a magician on a radio show.
Well,
did you ever think of that?
Yes, but the thing is, besides, he might make Eddie O'Coyne disappear, but beside that,
yeah,
he
but
might
don't
tell
have
us...
Yeah, show up in Winchester.
No, but he'll tell us different things, things of magic, what's true and what's false, stories that he does of his father and these things.
And how phony that Uri Keller is.
Well, I'm going to ask him that, too.
That is magic. Your friend down to Philadelphia...
Yes.
They had a bunch on, and they were doing a job on Uri Geller one
night.
Uh-oh.
They
had about seven magicians and,
go ahead.
People of that sort were on there, and they were really taking Uri Geller over the coals. But I saw him do this on television, bend that spike.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I thought it was very good. And as I said, my brother happens to be a magician. And he's an old man. I'm not a young man.
I may take one of these courses that these fellows... I may take one of those courses in magic show. I'll know myself. Not that I'm going to use it, but...
it could be worked with hypnotism.
No, it could be, but I'm not going to do it, though.
I mean, as for stage.
I'd like to keep no hypnosis in one arena and magic in the other, but I just like to learn it for my own benefit.
Now, there is a lot of the same illusion type of thing. Between the two,
That's false.
Many of the things that a magician does is talking to you.
Yes.
Telling you.
Yes.
While the hands are going,
Oh, yeah.
You're looking at his face.
Yes. Well, anyways, you're looking at his face, right? Distraction, illusions. Yes, I understand. Yes.
But I do want to say that I humbly admit that the Godfather is much wiser, and I...
I must confess that I had no... It was just a guess. I had no inside... I had no inside information on that race.
If you're talking to Steve Davidovich, you tell him, Turpin Sports Digest, no. The Godfather, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay?
So long, neighbor.
Good night, Larson.
254-5678. You're on WBZ. Hello? Hello?
Okay.
Phone off. 254-5678. Hello?
Hi, Larry.
Hi, lady.
Hi.
Hi.
A first-time caller. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I just heard you talking to Marge Bedona.
Yes.
And I, too, work for the Holiday Inn.
Are you a waitress there?
No, I'm not.
Yes.
I work in the personnel department.
Oh, yes. The one at Government Center?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And I thought I'd just add that she's everything you heard she was.
Right.
On top of everything, she's the best waitress you could ever come across.
I bet she is.
She really is. She's and she said she's been there from the beginning, and she's absolutely top notch.
Did you know she was going to be on the air tonight?
No, I didn't. The funny thing is, I often listen to you, but tonight I went to bed quite early.
Why?
I was exhausted.
You mean they work you that hard there? Is that what you're trying to say?
Not really, but I work hard anyway.
Yeah.
But I was in the middle. I was sound asleep, and you're. You talking and mentioning her name came through so clear. It was really funny. And I heard the whole thing.
Yeah, she sounds like a nice lady.
She is. She really is very, very nice.
Can you imagine the shock of that fellow bothering her coming to work at 5:30? She would turn
around. It's funny. She's a tiny little woman. Not real tiny, but she's very slender and petite.
Yeah, well,
and
she's 5'5".
You would never expect it.
Yeah.
You never would.
5'5", 122 pounds, right?
Right. And she is...
Jumped
really
up.
Top notch. We all love her.
Jumped up and whacked this guy right in the Adam's apple. He said, lady, I was only fooling, lady.
So I just thought I'd add that she really is top notch and she's everything that people claim she is.
Well, very good. What's your first name so she'll know who you are?
Dorothy.
Dorothy.
She probably won't hear me now. Nobody, I will hope it.
No, but George is still listening.
I bet he is.
Yeah. He doesn't want her to be a crime. Are you married?
No, I'm not, sir.
What's the sir? What do you like? What do you think? This is a police station?
What?
She kept calling me Mr. Glick. You call me sir. Boy, they train you good over there at the Holiday Inn. Yes, sir. No, sir. You have to, what are you, stand and salute? You don't have to do that, Dorothy. This is a relaxed program. We're all friends here.
Friends. I really enjoy listening to you.
Well, that's nice. What time do you have to get up for work?
Well, I'm like Marge. I like to go in early because when there's nobody around, you can accomplish so much more.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have to be there until 8:30, but Many a day I'm in there at 6, especially payroll day.
Oh.
Because I know how everybody likes to get paid.
Well, you're okay.
So I'm hoping you come in, too. I'm dying to meet you.
Don't die, Dorothy. Thanks very much. Listen, we got to go. And do you like banjo and guitar music?
Yes, I do.
Oh, this is Foggy Mountain Breakdown with Scruggs and Flat and Scruggs. But we have this message. We'll be right back.
Okay, good night, sir.
So long, sir.
Bye-bye.
So long, ma'am. So long, sir.
The BZ Air Force.
Joe Green in the BZ Copter covers Boston traffic Monday through Friday, mornings and afternoons.
Ned Foster in the BZ plane reports on weekend traffic every weekend.
The BZ Air Force has traffic coverage every day on WBZ Radio 103.
And now, this kind of music I really enjoy for a little tune from a Sick and Shut-In Friends, Flat and Scrug. Wee, listen to this banjo picking. Here I go. Thank you. Thank you, Flat and Scruggs. Do you like that music? I hope you did. Wake up and stay up with New England's number one tradition, Carl D'Souza, this morning at 5:30 on Radio 103. The Spirit of New England, WBZ, Boston Group W, Westinghouse Broadcasting. With the Rockefeller Commission having completed its probe of the CIA, President Ford has turned over to the Justice Department the investigation of alleged agency involvement in foreign assassination plots. More on that story with BZ's Eric Engberg.
President Ford held open the possibility that there will be criminal prosecutions and new government safeguards against intelligence abuses as a result of the Rockefeller Commission's investigation of the CIA.
My reading of the report leads me to the conclusion that the panel has been fair, frank, and balanced. I will ask the Attorney General to study all the materials gathered by the Commission on any matter to determine whether action should be undertaken against any individual.
The part of the Rockefeller investigation dealing with CIA domestic spying will be made public tomorrow. 80 pages of information the Commission uncovered on CIA assassination plots against foreign leaders will not be released, but will be turned over to the Justice Department and congressional committees. On other matters, the president said he is convinced the economy has bottomed out. He threatened Congress with more vetoes if it votes high-priced spending measures, and he said the time to announce his formal candidacy for election is drawing closer all the time, but he's not ready to do it yet. Eric Engberg, Group W News, the White House.
Two alleged Symbionese Liberation Army members smiled and chatted Monday as a Sacramento, California jury announced it had found them guilty of first-degree murder.
The blue denim clad defendants were convicted of the 1973 slayings of Oakland school superintendent Marcus Foster and the attempted murder of his assistant. Sentencing is set for June 27th. Prison officials at a Canadian prison near Vancouver still are awaiting word from government officials in Ottawa on whether to meet the demands of three inmates holding 15 hostages at knife point. The prison director says he expects word from Ottawa soon on the prisoners' demands that they and their hostages be flown to freedom in a neutral foreign country. WBZ News Time, 2 minutes after one. Men, top coats and overcoats made in Baron Anderson's own factory are a rare thing. There are only about 1,000 left in the world. This Baron Anderson group made of coats are on sale today in Baron Anderson's retail store at fabulous savings. It's fabulous when you can buy a Baron Anderson made coat originally priced at $225 for only $79 and a $190 coat for $69 and a Baron Anderson top coat originally priced at $140 for only $29. Yes, $29. And if you know the superb fabrics, tailoring, and craftsmanship that go into a Baron Anderson made coat, you'll rush down to buy. All styles, but not in all styles and all sizes. 100% wools and wool blends. With fall only a few months away, this can be the bargain of your life. The Baron Anderson store is at 745 Atlantic Avenue, corner of Beach Street, near the South Station in Boston. Entrance is on Beach Street. Open weekdays and Saturdays, 9 to 5. Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 8. Yes, men? This is your last chance to own a Baron Anderson-made overcoat and topcoat. A Portuguese military spokesman says Portuguese paratroopers stormed strongholds of two rival black African nationalist factions which have been battling in Angola for about 3 months. The spokesman says the troops confiscated arms caches because the movements had ignored a ceasefire agreement to keep heavy weapons out of the capital. A former Kent State University student who was wounded by Ohio National Guard troops in May 1970 testified on Monday that student demonstrators did not throw stones or rush the guardsmen before they fired. Joseph Lewis testified in the civil suit filed in Cleveland by parents of the shooting victims. He said that at first he thought the troops were firing blanks. And now the weather for Boston and vicinity. For the rest of this morning, fair with low temperatures, 45 to 50. For Tuesday, June 10th, 1975, mostly sunny with high temperatures in the 60s along the coast and in the 70s inland. Tuesday night, fair, low temperatures in the 50s, and Wednesday, sunny with high temperatures in the upper 70s. Now we're getting more like it. That's the kind of weather we want. In Boston now, it's 50 degrees. High sports fans on the BZ scoreboard, Ace Click reporting in the American League. Texas 12 and Boston 4. California 5 and the Yankees 3. Milwaukee 1 and the White Sox zip. Kansas City 5 and Detroit 2. Minnesota 11. Try that again. Minnesota 11. Cleveland 10. Oakland 4 and Baltimore 3. That game went 15 innings. In the National League, St. Louis 5. Atlanta 4. Pittsburgh 9. Cincinnati 2. Chicago 4 and Houston 3. Los Angeles 4. Montreal 10. Oh, hey, Eddie, put the winner first, Eddie. It's not 10. That's an L, the last L. Eddie, I'm sorry. That's the last L. It looked like a 10 because it was close to the zero. Try that again. Los Angeles 4, Montreal zip. I'm sorry, Eddie. I thought this was 10, see? And I thought this was a 10. That's the zero, right? It's right. The L. You put the L near the zero, it looked like 10, right? But it's my fault. That's Eddie. It's my fault, not yours.
I agree with that.
Okay. I'll say it again. Los Angeles 4 and Montreal zip. San Diego 8, Philadelphia 3. That's it, sports fans. The top story of the hour. With the Rockefeller Commission having completed its probe of the CIA, President Ford has turned over to the Justice Department the investigation of alleged agency involvement in foreign assassination plots. And that's the 1 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Streeter Glick, WBZ News.
There's a new law on the books. If you own a gun and don't have a permit, the penalty is a year in jail. No paroles, no suspended sentences. A year in jail, guaranteed. Why take the chance? Register today with your local police department.
And now back to the Larry Glick Show. We have another little call going. To this fellow down in Fall River, I believe, who is trying to set a world's record for hairdresser. And Eddie's been trying to call, but the line's been busy. We don't know to whom he's speaking, but anyways, we're going to try that. And incidentally, if you do have any calls, any place in the world, give us a buzz. Eddie, would you get me some fresh coffee for Barkershaw? That means please.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Eddie. Okay, let's take a call. Let's see who we have. 254-5678. You're on WBZ. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
How you doing?
Let me check. Not bad, thank you.
Good.
Will you speak up a little bit, please? Because you'll put everybody to sleep here.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes. You're on the air.
Okay. Larry?
Yes?
I'd like you to,
yes?
With Joe Stan.
Yes?
You know Joe.
Sure, I know. I like Joe.
Right. Oh, he's just changed jobs.
Joe Steele changed job. He's not down at the Somerset Hotel.
Right.
He's not there.
No.
Where is he?
He's at Peter's Plum.
What?
In Government Center.
Peter's Plum. What's that?
It's
Peter's Plum.
Right.
What is that?
Pete's Plum.
What is that?
It's a function place and a luncheon and dinner dining place.
Where is it?
The Government Center.
Oh, well, was that the name, or was the original name, or what is it?
No, it used to be the Sea and Surf.
Oh, yeah, I know where that is. I used to eat there. Oh, is he there now?
Pardon?
What's he do there?
Manager.
No kidding?
Yeah.
Good him. Hey, Joe, what, do you work there?
Do I?
Yes, are you Mrs. Steele?
No, I'm just a friend of his.
Oh, you work there? What? A friend? He's married.
I know it.
What do you mean, a friend of his? What does that mean?
A friend of his wife.
A friend of his wife's. Now, that's a little different.
Right.
Well, I'll go down there and have a glass of milk and a cookie there one day.
Yeah,
thanks
well,
very much.
I want you to wish him.
I do, because I like him.
I tried to get you last week. I was at his house.
Oh, yeah?
And we tried for hours. It was just impossible.
Well, listen, hey, give him my best regards and tell him I wish him lots of luck, and I'll be down to see him, too. Maybe I'll make one sweep down there. I'll see him, and then I'll go down the Holiday Inn and see Margie down there.
Oh, that would be really good.
Well, okay, give him my best regards and tell him I wish him lots of luck, okay? He'll have it because he's a hard worker.
Right.
Thanks very much.
What?
So long. 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello?
See Margie down there.
Oh, that would be really
254-5678. Hello?
Hello, I'd like to talk to Larry Clark.
Yeah, what do you want to talk to him about?
I just want to congratulate him on his pick the other night when he used...
Oh, hold on a second, will you? Hold on, I'll get him for you.
Thank you.
Hey, Larry, another horse race fan on number 6, Avatar.
Hello, WBZ, you're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Congratulations. I listen to you every night.
Thank you.
I was telling my boss about it tonight. I work till 12 o'clock.
What do you do?
I'm a printing, specialized printing. And he's probably listening now. I told him I was going to try to call you and let you know that I was... after I listened to you Friday night and I was watching the race... I was playing pinochle with my wife, and I said, well, wait a minute, let's hold up the game here. You know, the race is coming on. I said, Larry, let's set number 6.
Right.
I said, I think he can do it.
You didn't bet, though, did you?
No, I don't bet.
Oh, yeah, I don't either.
But I was wondering if you had anything on it.
Nope. No, I don't bet. I take chances, but I don't gamble like that on horses. It doesn't, you know, I guess it would be exciting, like, if I bet a lot of money on a race.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, you know, doesn't turn me on.
I think that would take a lot away from the fact, you know, that you were able to select the choice. You know, select the winner.
I wonder how Steve Davidowitz picked, what he picked. I didn't, well, it was just the number that came in. I didn't even know who the horse was.
Yeah, I remember the guy saying, he kept saying number 4. He was going to bet on number 4, and he was saying, that's the one.
Yeah.
And you said, now wait just a minute now. I put a lot of my powers into this, and I gave this a lot of thought. Now, it is number 6, and you sounded so, you know, so sure of it, you know? And you know, when the race came on, I was pretty definite that 6 was going to come in.
You were sure, too?
Yeah.
Now, what thoughts after the race was over? Did you think I knew the horse, took the horse out to lunch before the race?
No, not really. I figured, well, you have a lot of faith in the, you know, the powers, you know, whatever the powers are that...
No, that was just coincidence, that's all.
Yeah, well, I think it had a lot to do with that intuition you have, you know, that, what do you call it, psychic?
That's right, psychic ability.
Yeah.
What, you say that you're a printer.
Yeah.
What if I were to give you some $10 and $20 plates?
Couldn't do it.
Why?
I wouldn't do it.
I could get you some good paper.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, well, I don't think I could handle it. I think because I don't want it, that's why, you know.
What if I were to make you an offer you couldn't refuse? Huh?
You sell it again. No, I don't, and I don't do that kind of spinning anyway. It's not specialized.
What is it?
It's a specialized spinning. It's gift wrap and stuff like that.
Oh, I get it. Oh.
Like the regular spinning. I was in that, I was an officer for president at one time, and that's, it's a little bit more special, you know. You have to really...
What is your first name?
Pardon?
What is your first name?
Bob.
Bob.
Yeah.
This is the...
Bob. Yeah?
This is the Godfather. Bob.
Yes,
I'm going to make you an offer.
Yes, sir.
An offer you can't refuse. Don't tell me you can't do it. When someone delivers the paper and the plates, you'll make fives and tens. And if you make, wait a minute, the Godfather's talking. And if you make a 30, you're going to get it. No 30s, 10s and 20s, and no 40s either.
Listening now. He's a
glitch man. And that goes for your boss, too.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to talk to him tomorrow when I see him tomorrow.
Well, okay. So long, Bob.
Okay.
Buonasera.
The Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, is licensed to buy gold articles such as rings, bracelets, chains, old watches, gold teeth, yes, even gold teeth, and any gold coins. Also, the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, buys regular silver coins dated before 1964, and rare coins or silver in any form for instant cash. So search around all bureau drawers for those unwanted gold and silver articles and coins. If you live outside the Boston area in other cities or states, mail the items insured for appraisal. If the appraisal is satisfactory to you, a check will be sent to you by return mail. The Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, makes no charge for appraisal. No amount too small or too large. So bring or send your silver and gold articles to the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center.
Okay, it's 16 minutes after 1 o'clock, and Eddie just reminded me, we did two days last week, and it was very successful. From 4 to 5 every morning, we're just going to take out-of-state calls. Out-of-state calls from 4 to 5 because a lot of people write in. They say, we'd like to get in, and it's more difficult calling in from out-of-state than it is locally. So from 4 to 5, I think we'll do that every day. 4 to 5, we'll take out-of-state calls. Okay, let's take another call. 254-5678. Hello?
Yes, hello there. Hello, Ken, if you can hear me. Hello?
Hello once. Hello twice. How do you ever ask you? Let's take another call. Hello?
Good evening.
Good evening.
Larry Glick.
Let me check. Yes.
Check.
Yes.
How you doing, Larry?
Okay,
I've
pal.
I've been trying to get you since Friday. I'm out on a Massachusetts Turnpike. I got a state kind of Massachusetts Pike.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Where are you on the Massachusetts Turnpike?
Well, I'm off the pike. I'm a truck driver. I delivered here Friday, and I had to stay over. I couldn't get a ride home.
Well, you're from the Pittsburgh area.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
How do I know that?
I don't know. I was going to call up and say, this is Perry Marshall, but I thought you'd shoot me.
No, you're too nice a guy. I wouldn't do that, but I knew that you were from Pittsburgh, didn't I? The Pittsburgh area.
How did you know that?
I can tell the way you talk.
Incredible.
That's right.
Yeah, I delivered Friday, and I listen to you all the time, and I've really been dying for a long time to call you.
What's your first name?
Ed.
And how come there's such a long layover?
Things are pretty bad.
Oh, you mean you're waiting for load to go back?
Yes, sir.
Oh.
I had a load this morning, but it fell through.
Oh, is this your own truck?
Yes.
What did you bring in here?
I brought in a load of glass from Ford Motor Company, but I don't normally haul glass. I haul steel. I'm a steel hauler.
All right. And you're waiting for a load. How long do you think you'd have to stay up here?
Well, if I don't get one tomorrow, I'll deadhead down to Philadelphia.
Right.
And I can definitely get one out there. Before fuel went up so high, I could have afforded to deadhead home.
Right.
But with five kids, I can't do that now.
What do you tell your wife? You say, I'm...
Well, she understands it. It's very unusual to have to be over this long.
Hmm. What town are you near? What town are you near?
I am at, near Auburn.
Oh, yeah, that's...
I'm at the Mass 10 truck stop.
Oh, yeah, right near Worcester.
Yes, sir.
All right, you don't have to keep saying sir to me. I mean, I sound like I'm a police officer. You're under arrest. If I catch you speeding on the turnpike, you've had it, pal. I mean...
Truckers never speed, Larry.
No, I know that. How long you been a trucker, trucker?
What's that?
How long you been a trucker?
17 years.
Do you have an interesting story, something that happened where you stopped a truck and delivered a baby or something like that, or...
Yeah, I have an interesting story.
I'd like to hear it, Ed.
I delivered in Stoughton, is that how you say it?
Stoughton.
Stoughton, okay. Yeah. I delivered in Stoughton Friday, and I was tired, and I waited so I could call Larry Glick Friday night. When I finally got through, in a payphone, in a miserable rain, the fella told me they had magicians on. Of course, I couldn't listen to the show while I'm standing in his phone booth. Let me on.
Oh.
I told him, I hope your dog dies and your wife gets pregnant.
Oh, that's Eddie. You're talking about Eddie. Oh. Poor Eddie.
I didn't really tell him that.
No, I know that. There's only a kid. He's not married.
But I was standing out in the cold, miserable rain. 3 minutes,
the signal went through.
What kind of a signal shall we give you, lady?
I've always wanted to tell them that.
Yeah, but you're a gentleman. You don't say anything off color out of the way, do you?
No, I don't.
We ever stop for speeding? Those Pennsylvania police are pretty strict, aren't they? The state troopers.
Ohio's the worst.
Ohio?
Oh, incredible.
Why is that?
I don't know why. They're pretty bad.
What?
Massachusetts is real nice.
Well, we're pleasant here.
It's the first time I've been here in 5 years, but I used to come here regularly, like twice a week. And I remember them as being right now. The people here are real nice.
Well, it's nice of you to say that. Listen, Ed, I'm going to give you a round of applause, and I hope you get a load out of here back to Pittsburgh.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Eddie.
Okay, and I'll keep listening.
Thank you, Ed.
Keep trucking.
So long, neighbor.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. 254-567-8, you're on WBZ. Hello.
Is this WBZ?
Let me check. There's a sign on the wall. Yes, it is.
Is Larry on the air?
Yes, he is. This is Larry right here.
Larry, this is... Bobby, did you get your stethoscope?
Hey, Pat, let me give you a round of applause. As a matter of fact, yes, and I use it. I say, Donna, let me hear your heart.
Very good.
I listen to my own heart.
All right, now listen.
Yes.
The round piece is for heartbeats, and the little other one that looks like a scope, right?
Yes, what's
that's
that for?
For fetal hearts.
For what?
Fetal hearts.
Oh, I was wondering what that other one was for. Yeah.
Well, I'm a labor and delivery technician at Boston Lying In.
That was nice. I'm going to hang that up. I'm going to hang it up in my library, in my
good.
Office.
Good.
That was nice of you to do that, Pat.
Oh, listen, I promised you, and you know, Bobby and I both said we would.
I always wanted to have a stethoscope. It made me feel medical.
Good.
What I'm going to do, Pat, I'm going to get myself one of those white jackets and carry the stethoscope in my pocket. And I'm
how
going
about
to,
if I ship you a lab coat?
A lab coat, yes.
Yeah.
And I'll go to different hospitals and I'll examine people. with my little beard, they say I look like a doctor.
What size do you wear?
Oh, 43 regular, 43
all right.
Long. 43 long would be great.
That's the next one coming to you.
I'll be a set.
I really will.
And I'll put some pins up here and maybe one of those little flashlights.
I never go back on my word. Never.
Open your mouth, please.
Right.
And I'll see now, too. I'll say, now, this is, I'll walk in with the patients in the room and I'll say, this is Dr. Glick, and we're working something a little different. It's pay as you go. So, today's will be today's service will be $10, and not just go and make collections.
Hey,
you
get a heck of a lot more than that today.
today's service will be $20, and
okay.
You can pay each day as you go along.
Hey, listen, Bob told me to tell you that Steve Davinowitz picked Diablo in the Belmont.
He picked the, and I had Avatar. I won, right?
Yeah, Bob did. Well, he was going to bet it, but he didn't.
He did. Why?
I don't know. I guess we both went to sleep. We both work nights.
Oh.
So that's why.
Where does he work?
He works at Sydney Hill.
Oh.
He's a sports fan that gives you all the sports
info. Oh, anymore. That's the guy.
Yeah, oh, that's him.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Well, give my best regards and
tell him. Well, he's right here and he wants to say hello to you.
Oh, okay.
And he's at my house again.
Hey, how long is he going to stay there?
Forever and ever, I hope.
Oh, okay.
I told you there was a story behind the story.
Okay.
Okay, Larry, here he is.
Hello, Valvo.
Who is this?
Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
How are you?
Hey, that was nice of you to send me the stethoscope, you know?
Huh?
That was nice of
you. Oh, yeah. I had Avatar. It's Steve Davinowitz. He picked Diablo.
No, not Davinowitz. Steve Davinowitz.
Yeah, Davinowitz. He picked Diablo. I had Avatar.
Oh, you did?
Sure.
How much did you bet? Tell me.
10. How much? 28, 11 in the middle, and 5 on the end.
So how much did you net?
Oh, I netted, a little over a deuce.
200.
Yeah, a little over 200.
That's not bad.
But, you know, coming into the stretch, Shoemaker had me worried. He went to the left hand with the whip.
Yeah.
The horse's right ear went down.
The horse's ear went down.
Right.
And Shoemaker kept giving the old...
So naturally, he went back to the right.
Coming in close to the rail.
He went back to the right
back
hand.
Back to the rail, back to the right. And Avatar.
He went back to the right hand and brought him in. Just beat foolish pleasure.
Oh.
And we went to Wonderland tonight.
You went to Wonderland?
Yeah, I had the 8-1, 8-8. She hit the double.
Does that turn you on? I guess it does.
What, the
go.
Dogs?
The dogs, races, everything, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You like that. Why, Bobby?
Huh?
How come you like that?
Oh, I guess sports is just in my blood, that's all.
Yeah.
And my night off tonight, we're going to have some Lux eggs and onions, you know.
Hey, in South Boston, where are you going to get Lux eggs and onions?
I'm going to make them.
You're going to make
them? I'm the only Irishman that can make Lux eggs and onions in South Boston.
Hey, listen, do you know...
I can speak Yiddish better than most Jewish people.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How do you make... What does everyone call me sir for?
I don't know.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
How do you make it? Now, there's one way. I don't eat it now because it's too fattening. But,
yeah.
But how do you make it?
I'll tell you what.
There's one way.
Put your Lux in first.
That's right. That's just...
See?
Go ahead.
And your onions.
Right.
All right? And then you put your eggs. Anytime you're putting anything mixed with eggs, always cook the meat... Or the fish, or whatever it is, first.
That's
then
right.
Add your eggs last.
As a matter of fact, you know the way, there was a buddy of mine, he's an architect down in Florida.
Right.
He used to make it, he used to put the Lux in first.
Yeah.
And really get it very well done. Really brown it up.
Right.
And then the onions, he'd get the onions done very, very well.
Right.
And then he'd mix around, and then he'd put the eggs in, and then the eggs would be medium. Oh, man.
Right.
Yeah, that's great, but the calories, though, he'd
fry them. Tipper, you know?
Yeah, he'd fry them in butter. He'd fry them in butter, so
right.
Then you'd have the eggs and the Lux and bread and bagels and cream cheese and butter and milk and
bread.
Cream and coffee and bread. Oh,
gross.
5,000 calorie breakfast.
I know, I just went.
Oh.
Well, 4 months ago I was 217, now I'm down to about 198.
Well, how tall are you?
5'6" and a half.
Oh, Bob.
But I lift weights. I get, you know,
lift 18. Weights? I mean, you're going to have heavy
I get an 18-inch arm.
Yeah, but, I mean, 5'6", 220 pounds.
No, 217, Larry.
Bob, what's 3 pounds?
217, Larry.
What's 3 pounds, Bob?
All right, but that's gone now.
How much you weigh now? 100 what?
192.
192
right.
And 5'6".
32-inch waist.
Oh, you're a weightlifter, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, I work out in the health club, you know, I finish my work at the club, and 4 o'clock I go up to the doctor, start working out.
Let me see. You got 32-inch waist?
Right.
And what's your chest? About?
I don't know, really. I know it's...
What kind of stuff do you work out with? How about what kind of waist? What do you press? What do you...
On the bench?
Yeah.
I could do about 350.
350?
I can rep that maybe, I do 3 reps. No.
350. I feel as if I'm straining myself just thinking about it. I can lift 75 pounds.
Yeah, but see, after you get the bulk, Larry, then you cut down on your weight. You want to get definition, see? That's when you put the curls and, you know, in your stomach, the wrinkles.
Yeah, with what? What kind of weight do you do that with?
Well, then you cut down. Instead of lifting 350, you put like on the bench there, you knocked down to 200.